Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Psalms, chapter 34, verses 1 through 9, a Psalm of David. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him, and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you as saints. There is no want to those who fear him. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, whose mercies and blessings we have tasted and have seen, dear fellow redeemed. Early in my ministry, I was assigned a paper by the Great Lakes Conference on the stages of grief. And one of the most intriguing comments I ran across was written by a mother who had lost a little 11-year-old daughter in death. She wrote the following sentence: God does not comfort us only to make us comfortable, but to make us comforters. Whether she realized it or not, those few words summarized the few verses in the first part of Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, where Paul wrote, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Many times when the Lord allows tribulations, trials, troubles, problems to come our way, and he comforts us with his word, he does so that we then are able to comfort others who fall into the very same trouble or trial that we had. There's a saying, you don't know what I go through until you walk in my moccasins. Or, no one can feel the same except those who have experienced the same. As we've been learning in our Sunday morning Bible classes this fall, David was a man who was greatly blessed by the Lord, a man after God's own heart, but also a man who had some severe, very severe trials and troubles in his life. After he had been anointed king of Israel, Saul turned on him, tried to kill him several times, chased him from place to place. David became a fugitive in his own land, had to flee and run for his life, even though he had been crowned to be the next king. And as we've been hearing the last few weeks in David's life, later in his life, he even had more trials and troubles. Throughout all of these trials, all of these afflictions, all these chasings from God, yet God showed him grace and mercy because God had chosen him to be his king and he would protect him. But there was another reason why God was giving David this comfort of his word. It was that David would take that comfort that he received and comfort others, to proclaim the Lord's great grace to him. And so David wrote many, many psalms. Psalms in which he praises God for all of his comfort, for all of his deliverance, for all of his mercy toward him. And so this morning, our theme is David invites us to share in the experience of trusting God. We could entitle this psalm, Blessed is the Man Who Takes Refuge in God. And David learned that. David experienced that. He learned it so well that he could cry out in verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. That phrase, taste and see, tells us that God's goodness is something that we must experience first. Taste it, see it, before we can really truly appreciate it. This psalm is one of eight that David wrote while he's being chased by King Saul. Eight wonderful psalms of fear, anxiety, but then confidence and trust in God's deliverance. You see, David had jumped from the frying pan into the fire. He had fled from Israel to the city of Gath. Remember Gath? We talked about this morning in Bible class. Gath is a city of Goliath, the man he had killed just a few years earlier. Now, why David fled to Gath in the land of Philistia, we're not told. Perhaps he thought that'd be the last place that King Saul would look. Maybe he thought he could disguise himself and no one would know him. Perhaps he thought if they saw him, they'd say, oh, there's King David. He must have turned on Saul and he's now on our side. But none of that happened. When people saw David, they immediately recognized him as the king. We're told in 1 Samuel chapter 21, then David arose and fled that day from before Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of him to one another in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? So the people brought David right before the king and said, this is the next king of Israel. What's he doing here? We're told David was filled with fear. But then the Lord gave David the plan to pretend that he was insane. We read in verses 12 to 15 of 1 Samuel 21. David was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath, so he changed his behavior before them. He feigned madness in their hands, scratched on the doors of the gate, let his saliva fall down on his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, look, you see the man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? The belief of the Eastern culture was that anybody who was insane was spiritually possessed and therefore should do them no harm. Well, Achish didn't want to do David any harm, but he also was afraid that David might do him some harm. And so he let him go. And when David was set free, he penned this psalm, Psalm 34, in thanksgiving and praise to the Lord for his deliverance. But it's not only a praise to God. In this psalm, he calls upon all of us who read these words to do the same thing with him. He's been rescued. He's been comforted. He's been delivered. And now he invites us to learn from this experience and to put our confidence and our trust in the same Lord who delivers all people. And isn't that what God has called us to do? To encourage each other? The Lord tells us in Hebrews 10, let us consider how we may spur on one another toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The Apostle Paul, writing to Thessalonians, says, we loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And the Apostle Peter repeats David's very words in his first epistle. He experienced the same undeserved comfort and love. Peter writes, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Have you tasted the Lord's mercy, the Lord's grace? That's not just an invitation. That's a challenge. Put God to the test in every situation in your life. He has promised you faithfulness. Trust Him. Rely upon Him. Completely, implicitly, totally put your confidence in Him to deliver you. Taste of His goodness and inwardly digest His words of promise. Look at His works. He's never failed you in the past, and He'll never fail you in the future either. But we of little faith, as we rapidly approach the end of this year, 2019, let's look back upon the year. We look back upon the year, and what do we see? We see a year that's one of the best years economically in 50 years. Our jobs are safe. Stock market is great. Economy is booming. We have more than enough. And yet, as we look back upon the year, we've had trials and troubles and sorrows. Some of you may have lost loved ones. Maybe there were illnesses, injuries, accidents, maybe emotional or spiritual problems. And yet the Lord never failed once in all of His promises of deliverance. The Lord never once failed to see us through every single problem, every single trouble in this past year, big or small. The Lord never once let us face the future alone without Him. Oh yes, we've tasted. We've tasted His goodness. We have seen His mercy and His grace in Christ. Well, let's look back upon this past year one more time. And this time, unfortunately, what do we see? We see our life littered. Littered with sins, thought, sins of our words, sins of our actions. And yet never once were we without our Savior's love and forgiveness. How amazing is that? Over and over and over again, every day, we broke the Lord's commandments. And yet over and over and over again, God's grace and His forgiveness was there to lift us up, to strengthen us in our faith walk, always pointing us to the cross and to our Savior's love and forgiveness. Having tasted of the Lord's goodness, David cannot constrain himself, and he cries out, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." There is no time when praises cannot or should not be on our lips and in our hearts. In good economic times or bad, in health or in sickness, in wealth or poverty, joy or sorrow, when the full magnitude of all the many blessings God has showered upon us sinful beings sinks deeply into our heart, then a lifetime of praise is not enough for the Lord. We began our service this morning by singing, "When all thy mercies, O my God, my rising soul surveys, I'm lost in wonder, love, and praise." But the last line of the hymn was, "But O eternity's too short to utter all thy praise." Our praising will not so much center upon all the blessings that we receive, good as they are. Our praising should center upon the one who gave us those blessings, David says, in the Lord, my soul shall make its boast. He didn't pat himself on the back and think, well, that was a neat idea of me to pretend I was insane. He didn't praise himself for his ingenuity. He praised God. He said, thank you, God. It's your doing. You delivered me. You saved me. You comforted me. And we do the same. We sing praises to God for saving us, delivering us from death, hell, Satan, and giving us forgiveness of all of our sins. You know, when you read the life of David and you hear of all of his sorrow and the plight that he's going through, we're tempted to feel sorry for him. But David says, no, be glad. Be glad and magnify the Lord with me, and let's exalt his name together. Mary quoted those very same words in her song of praise when she said, magnify the Lord with me. In fact, that whole hymn of praise that we just read, almost every single line came from an Old Testament reference. She knew the scriptures very, very well. David continues in our text, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers him. Our Savior is always with us, even to the very end of the world, and his promises, his deliverance will always be there for us. He said, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. That's his promise. And you shall glorify me. That's our response. And David probably knew Psalm 91. We don't know it's written by him, but he knew about the angels. Psalm 91 reads, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. David concludes this marvelous psalm with these words, blessed is the man who trusts in him. Blessed again means happy. How very happy and content is the person who lays all of his life, good times and bad times, lays all of his life into the Lord's hands in complete trust in him. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. How much more happy, contented, and at peace our life would be if we would only remember and learn, cast all your cares upon him, because he, God, cares for us. We began our sermon this morning by talking about a mother who lost the 11-year-old daughter in death. At first, she didn't want her personal sorrow and tragedy to be a source of comfort to anyone else. In fact, her pastor encouraged her to write down the comfort that she's been receiving from the Lord through her grief. And she was repulsed at that. There was no way, she said, I want my grief and my sorrow to be a joy to someone else. But then as she went through that suffering, and as the Lord comforted her day by day, she realized that was why the Lord was doing that. To give her comfort so that she too would be comforters to others. And so she wrote that book on comfort in grief. I'm going to read one other statement that she wrote in the book, a very telling one. She wrote, when we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, we are anxious to try him again. It would be good for all of us who grieve to look back and thankfully remember the help God has given us in our troubles. Well, again, during this Advent season, we will taste and see that our Lord, our God, is good. God the Father has sent his Son into this world to leave his throne on high, to come into this world and to become us, Emmanuel, God with us, to live a perfect life of obedience for you and me, and then that obedience, that righteousness is given to us through faith, and then to earn our salvation by suffering and dying upon the cross and rising back from the grave. In all our troubles, in all our sorrows, in all our trials, trust in Jesus and his promises. We indeed are eager to celebrate his first coming, his birth. We also anxiously anticipate his second coming. So may we, who have tasted the Lord in faith and seen that our God is indeed good, join David and join Mary in praising him continually and magnifying his glorious name. How very happy is the person who trusts in the Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.